You're listening to The Impromptu on the Hologram Radio Network, a multifaceted show discussing how technology, art, design, and equality converge on topics that matter most to us. From gaming culture to film and other forms of media, we examine the creative process and how the decisions we make shape our perceptions and lives. This is Alex Knight, and I am joined by Michael Norton. Episode 95, an iPhone for peasants? Today on the podcast, Michael and I talked about the iPhone 8 Pro, or whatever the higher-end model is going to be. There are lots of rumors flying around that this new model is going to be a premium version, a flagship phone that will be more expensive than the most expensive iPhones that are currently available, which is the iPhone 7 Plus. Now, there's a lot of debate on how much exactly Apple wants to charge for that phone, whether it's $100, $200 or more. Some say $1,500 for the phone. Some say a more reasonable $1,200. Well, let's face it, $1,200 is not exactly cheap for a smartphone, but that's par for the course because high-end smartphones tend to cost around that price anyways, at least $1,000 unsubsidized. So we debate that and what exactly that means for Apple and what direction are they going to take in September. So tune in for that. That's coming up next on The Impromptu. When everything is broken and nothing's going right.
Well, it's another Apple heavy week this week. Bunch of Apple related stuff happening in the news. We'll start with pricing rumors for the upcoming iPhones in September. It's been a subject of debate back and forth. Really, there's just a lot of confusion right now because it's like, we know the iPhone 8 exists. We know there's this magical OLED zero bezel phone, Touch ID in the screen, so on. But there's also an open question as to whether or not there is, in fact, also an iPhone 7S and 7S Plus. Now, the conflicting part there is whether or not Apple intends this OLED phone to be a third price tier or not. We still haven't seen parts for all three phones. So far, the leaks have been limited to the OLED phone. So it's unclear exactly what's going to happen. But if the 7S does exist, then that means the 8 is a premium phone, an iPhone Pro, if you will, which will come with a premium price tag. John Gruber actually just posted a long diatribe on this topic where he predicts that if the 7S exists, the Pro could start at $1,199 US.
How does that differ from the current pricing on the top 7 Plus model? I thought it was around that price anyway.
Yeah, the 128 or 256 Plus starts is at $1,199. So this phone would start at $1,199 for a 64 gig model and go up to $1,299 for a 256 gig model, or so he predicts.
Right. I want to say that's expensive, but it was already expensive before, and this is not really that much further.
No.
If that's the case.
He speculates that it needs to be more expensive than the Plus, but not so much. Like, his theory is essentially that Apple is making this move because they want a new high-end phone that they don't have to make 60 million of. But for that to work, the new phone has to be so much more expensive that people will still buy the new mass-scale phone. In other words, they still need people to buy 40 to 50 million iPhone 7S units. But that's where the problem comes in, because how does Apple present that without looking like a massive asshole?
Right, because and it seems sort of antithetical to Apple's modus operandi that they want to build the best products possible. So to purposely kind of put it out of reach for so many people,
yeah,
to say that we like the logic doesn't even make sense to me that they want a phone that they don't have to make a lot of so that they don't sell a lot. Like what does that mean? Like,
yeah, he's suggesting that they want to make the very best phone they can make, but at the cost of that being very cutting edge to the point where they can't possibly make 60 million of them in a quarter. And in order for that to work, they have to also have these other phones. But the problem is, like I said, how do you present that without looking like a massive ass? Because if they stand there on that stage and go, here's this shiny new amazing OLED phone, and here's this other one that's not as good and is cheaper, please buy this one instead.
Yeah, I'm not going to go as far as to say that Apple isn't capable of doing something unexpected like that, because maybe that's what they want to do. But to me, it would make them look really bad, because I don't think consumers, no matter how good this new iPhone 8 is, I don't think consumers will really grasp or buy into just how premium it is when there are this entire mobile phone landscape is so competitive. And there are so many Android phones now that are coming out with edge-to-edge displays, mm-hmm. OLED screens.
For the same price as the 7.
Really good cameras. Now, yeah. We can get into arguments about software quality, and that's a valid argument as well. But I think to the average consumer, they're not going to grasp that, and they're just going to buy the cheaper Android phone with the OLED screen.
Yeah.
And I think that would be a mistake on their part.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he even calls it out. He says, like, there could be a narrative where, oh, the 7S is boring, but the Pro is too expensive, so I'll just buy nothing and stick with what I have or get something else.
Right, and it just seems like...
And that is totally what will happen if they do that.
And it seems like it will feed the fire, too, of, you know, like, Apple already long had this reputation of being sort of this snobby, expensive company. Like, that's just going to make it worse. That's just going to feed or fan the flames that Apple is like a bunch of snobs working there.
And if they do this, the OLED iPhone will basically be the equivalent of the gold Apple Watch. It'll be like, oh, here are these cheap phones for peasants, and here's the new shiny iPhone that costs $1,500. Better be rich if you want one. Like, really? No. Not when you've got the Galaxy S8 and the Galaxy Note 8 coming out in August. Their competition is not slowing down for them. They cannot sit there and go, oh, here's this shiny phone that competes with the current landscape, but it costs twice as much, and we only have a fraction of the supply, so you'd better be rich and rush to the online store to pre-order one, because you're not going to be able to get it in stores. Oh, and then here's these other phones that look exactly like our last year phones. Like,
yeah,
that just seems insane to me that they would get up there and do that.
To me, they should get up there.
There has to be more to it.
I just don't see the point in a 7S. To me, why not just... I think they should just have iPhone 8. Like they have in the current configuration. iPhone 8 with the smaller display and an iPhone 8. They can call it a Pro if they want. They can even charge an extra $50 to $100 more for it, maybe. But honestly...
There's only going to be one size.
I don't care. But I don't care if they charge maybe a little more, but honestly, I don't think introducing a 7S makes sense to me.
No. Like, if I'm Apple, I'm going to say, okay, we can't make 60 million of them, but we're going to sell every single one we make. So let's just do it. You know? Like, just put all your resources into it. You know you're not going to sell way more than you've ever sold. Sure, because you can't make enough of them for that. But your ASP is going to be higher because the phone's more expensive. You're going to make more profit margin. And your channel inventory is going to be absurd. Like, it will be zero-day channel inventory. They will be pumping those phones out of Shenzhen and directly into consumers' hands. Like, there will be no time for them to be on shelves. They will sell that quickly. So why not just do that? Because if you stop to make a also ran phone that looks exactly the same as the 7 with slightly better components, aren't you just doing yourself a disservice by generating this entire other SKU that you have to spend time on?
I don't see them doing that. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
It dilutes the product line.
Well, it pulls attention away from the flagship product.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, okay, you can't make 60 million. Make however many you can, you're going to sell them.
Yeah.
Just do that. And if people can't afford it, the 7 is now cheaper.
Exactly. Because you don't give the people the option on a new product to just buy the cheaper phone that's nearly good enough, right?
Yeah.
You want to build, like, Apple wants to build the best possible products. They've always prided themselves on being cutting edge, being ahead of the pack. How does releasing this 7S reinforce that?
It doesn't.
That belief.
It doesn't. Because if the Pro exists, they're basically admitting that the 7S isn't good enough. They're basically saying, oh, we sort of iterated a little on these phones, but here's the really cool phone, guys. This is the phone you're going to want. Well, why did you make the 7S then? Because now we don't want that phone.
Well, going back to what you said earlier, it's like this phone for you peasants that can't afford.
Yeah.
You know, this is good enough for most of you, but
it's ridiculous. And if you're going to do that, just make the 7 cheaper. It's effectively the same thing. Like, there's no need to make a whole new phone just to say, oh, there's actually this whole other phone that's way better. Don't buy that one.
But that's what they've been doing for a while, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they always make the previous model cheaper.
Yeah. That's been their modus operandi for the past decade.
The one, I guess, outlier was the repackaged 5S with the new internal hardware that they did a few years back.
The SE.
But that kind of went away. From what I heard, it didn't even sell that well. There were estimates on that it didn't sell that well anyway.
It sells more than you might think. Same thing with the 5C. People thought the 5C was a complete flop, but it still sells, or at least it did. It's obsolete now, but I would see a ton of them out there. So, I mean, it didn't sell as badly as people like to think it did. But the thing is, those phones were cheap and they were as good as another phone on the product line. So they kind of existed in a vacuum where it was like, okay, I'm price conscious. Oh, here's this new phone. It's almost as good as this other phone. And it's got the smaller screen that I like. I mean, that was really the need that those devices addressed.
Right. And if they want to make a cheaper phone for certain markets that can't really stomach the higher prices, maybe India or parts of Africa or whatever, I mean, why not just take the one that the previous model that's already...
Yeah.
Like, it's now at the point where the parts are so cheap.
Yeah.
You've been making it for so long. Why wouldn't you just sell that?
Well, that's exactly what they do. That's what they've been doing this entire time. So for them to suddenly change all that and be like, here's this really awesome phone that represents the cutting edge of phone hardware. Oh, and then these ones... Like, there's just a huge disconnect there. So, I mean, either we're missing something and maybe the 7S isn't that crippled compared to the Pro, or the 7S doesn't exist.
And it's not the 7 is only a year old. It's not like it's a crappy phone. It's a real cutting edge phone. It's still a really nice phone.
Oh, yeah.
With an excellent camera that beats most Android phones. Unless we're talking about maybe some of the latest Samsung phones.
Yeah.
But come on. I mean, if you were in an emerging market, and couldn't afford a phone, suddenly an iPhone 7 became available at a price you could afford, you would buy that.
Yeah.
And you would be really happy and have a great phone and a great camera.
Yeah. And the thing is, if the 7S exists, it will replace the 7 at the existing price point. So it will not drive down costs. It will not provide an even more affordable alternative. It'll be as if they've done another year of iteration and you're going to have this $1,000 7S Plus that is dramatically worse than the Pro. And Apple is effectively, well, theoretically going to stand on stage and say, oh, that's fine. Like, no, just no. I mean, maybe they do it. If they do it, I don't know. I mean,
what is your gut telling you?
My gut feeling is that we don't have all the facts. I think it's possible that the 7S is actually going to be really close to the 8, closer than the speculation suggests. I think if it does exist, mm-hmm. it'll be effectively the same thing as the Pro minus the OLED.
Is it possible that maybe the fact that we are missing is that, like you're saying, and maybe this is what you were thinking, was that this quote-unquote 7S maybe will be sold as an iPhone 8, just not the Pro model.
Yeah.
Like, why not just use the iPhone 8 branding?
Like, what I'm thinking...
This is the next version.
What I'm thinking is it'll be the difference between the Apple Watch Sport and the Apple Watch Steel, where it's like... I mean, it'll be a bit more dramatic than that, but kind of along the same lines, same chip inside, same features, same functionality, same camera, but they are cosmetically different. One has a level of fit and finish that is greater than the other one. And in the case of these iPhones, it would be one has a larger LED display and maybe Touch ID on the back of the phone. And the other one is 100% OLED with Touch ID in the screen. Something like that, where you're not necessarily going to feel awful for buying the 7S because it's effectively the same phone. It's just not quite as pretty.
Hence the Pro
edition
that would make sense that you would call it the Pro model.
So, I mean, if that's what it is, if that's what we're missing, that makes a lot more sense. Because then it's not, oh, here's this phone and here's this really cool phone. It's, here are these two phones. They do 99% of the same things except for this one, or for these one or two key differences. And if you want that superior build quality, it's going to cost you. And unfortunately, we're not able to make as many of them, so supply will be limited. But then if you still want most of that functionality, here's this other phone. It's as affordable as the 7, and you'll be able to get them in stores. That is a very different value proposition. And it's one that I think most people would be able to stomach.
Yeah, I would agree. But do you really think that they would just put the Touch ID sensor on the back on the cheaper model? That doesn't, like, what's stopping them from putting that into the display? Even if it's an LCD display, can they not still do it the same way?
Well, they could.
If they know how to do it. What's so different about
it? They could. I'm just suggesting it as a possible point of differentiation. Okay. I mean, they could do that. They could effectively look the same, just LED versus OLED. Yeah.
The way I would do it is with just the cheaper model. I wouldn't call it the 7S. It would just be the iPhone 8. But like you said, minus the OLED screen. And I don't know if it would have edge to edge, if they would bother with that.
No, the 7S wouldn't be edge to edge.
But at least I think for consistency's sake, because, you know, muscle memory's sake, you'd want to have that Touch ID sensor in the same spot on both products, I think. I don't think it makes sense. We've had it for years in the same spot at the bottom. To suddenly have to reach at the back to do that doesn't make sense to me. But who knows?
Yeah.
This is all speculation. This is the part of the fun of talking about this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, we're obviously going to have to wait until September to find out exactly what they're doing. Well, maybe not. I mean, if parts start to leak, then we'll get a much better picture of exactly what's going on. But yeah, like either they're about to make the dumbest mistake they've ever made, or there's something we're missing and it's not going to be as bad as we think it is. So yeah, wait and see, I guess. So then the other thing in the news related to Apple, which is actually related to hardware, is their feud with Imagination Technologies, the UK company that designs the GPU for the iPhone. They've been engaged in a bit of a back and forth. Apple supposedly suddenly announced they would no longer require Imagination Technology and that they would be designing their own GPUs for the A series chips starting in 2018. Imagination has since plummeted in stock value and they are looking at selling the company. Basically, they have been completely destroyed because all of their business relied on Apple, because Apple was apparently their sole customer for some unfathomable reason.
Unfathomable is the right word to use. Why would you put all your eggs in one basket?
Especially a basket that will drop you at the earliest convenience. I mean, have you not seen what Apple does to third-party hardware providers?
You only need to look at history, because Apple wants to be in control of their own destiny. Like, this is not anything new.
No, of course not. They forever will replace something that they've purchased with something that they make themselves every single time. The A series chip, it was an off the shelf ARM chip until they built an in-house CPU team. And now they make the best CPUs in the business. They're even getting ahead of Intel. Like the A10X in the new iPad Pros, it is faster than every single 13-inch MacBook Pro from last year, the new ones. And it's faster than most of them from this year with Kaby Lake i5 CPUs.
It's crazy when you think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, just how fast, the pace of innovation and performance. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, we never could have guessed that we would get to that point. Imagine going back, like talking to yourself 5 years ago to say one day mobile phone CPUs are going to be faster than your desktop CPU.
I'm pretty sure I said that at some point after they started building the A chips.
Well, okay, but at that point, you could see the trend where it was going.
I mean, the writing was on the wall at that point.
Right.
But yeah, before then, yeah, sure. It might have seemed unfathomable. But yeah, Intel has been dragging their feet for years and it was only a matter of time. But anyways, so Apple always does this. They rely on something and then they bring it in-house, design it themselves, build it themselves, have full control over it. And then the vendor that was making it is thrown to the curb. So, I mean, for Imagination to sit there and go, oh, our sole customer is Apple and we rely on them completely. Yeah. How long did you think that was going to last exactly? You should have been diversifying your business, because Apple will always drop you. Always. Expect it.
So what are they going to do?
They're going to sell their company to whoever will buy them.
I guess that's all they can do.
So then Apple fired back And they said, actually, we told them 2 years ago that we were planning to do this. So, I mean, if that's correct, and I'm pretty sure it is, Imagination did nothing to diversify their business for 2 years until that deadline was looming. And then it leaked in the press that that's what Apple was doing. And then Imagination gets all excited and angry about it. Oh, we're losing our business. We're going to sue Apple. Ah.
You hear that? It's the sound of the world's tiniest violin playing.
Yes. A 3D printed nano aluminum violin.
Just as somewhat of an aside, why aren't more mobile phone manufacturers using their technology?
Mostly because of Qualcomm, because Qualcomm is providing a full system on a chip solution. So the Snapdragon chips have built-in GPUs. They design them themselves. And they suck. But that's a whole other topic. Yeah. So, I mean, they could have drummed up business, though. That's the thing. They could have gone to other companies and said, look, we have these GPUs. We've proven that they work really well. Look at what they can do in the iPhones. And just really sell that to other companies. They could have done that at any time and said, our GPUs are some of the best off-the-shelf GPUs for mobile devices you can get.
They got complacent.
Yeah.
Why do anything when you can just sit back, smoke a cigar, and watch the money,
the checks from Apple.
Barrels of money come flowing in from Apple, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, they just did that. And then all of a sudden, oh, hey, it's a year before Apple ditches us. I guess we'd better raise a fuss about it now.
So when is the official, like, is Apple like cut off? They've cut them off completely now?
No. The word is that product shipping in 2018 and early 2019 will be using Apple designed GPUs.
So whatever this iPhone 8 will have will be from them.
Possibly, but if it's not ready for the A11, it will be in the A12. Or the A11X. It's going to be a phased shift. So, I mean, if it's not ready for this chip, it'll be in the next chip. And then moving forward, every single iOS device is going to have an Apple GPU in it. So, yeah, I don't know why they decided not to do anything. But I guess maybe that'll come out in the weeks ahead. And then finally, to talk about Qualcomm, they are in a bitter battle with Apple as well over patents and licensing. Basically, Apple says, you guys are double dipping us. You're charging us way more because we're not using your shitty chips for our CPU. Because, of course, Apple relied on Qualcomm for the modem chip. And in the 6S and the 7, they've started using Intel modems as well. And this is obviously a move towards making their own modem chip because they have hired people that can make modem chips.
So they switched to Intel not because they like it better, but because of the price that they were getting.
No,
is that right?
Not the price. They just don't want to rely on Qualcomm.
Okay.
But Qualcomm doesn't like that.
Right.
And
I see.
So they've engaged in this bitter battle. They keep launching lawsuits against each other. Qualcomm just launched one seeking to halt all iPhone sales in the U.S. next year.
That'll never happen.
Probably not, no. This is a company that has engaged in negative business practices. We know for a fact they have been convicted of negative business practices in South Korea and several other countries. And they're going to be on trial for similar things elsewhere. So, I mean, this is not a good company. This is a company that says, look at us, we've got these CPUs and you'd better use them or else. Like, they're kind of acting like a cable provider where it's like, okay, we have the modem chip, we have the CPU, and we're offering them to you in a bundle. Do you want to get the bundle? No? Oh, well, that's too bad. We're going to have to charge you three times as much for one of them now and a bunch of other bullshit. So, I mean, they've been trying to pull this shit on everybody. And
I agree. I mean, it is within their right as a business to charge whatever they want, but that doesn't mean that the market has to stomach that or take that.
Well, it's not that simple because you've also got the patent situation. So they've got a lot of patents on a lot of different chips. So for you to go around them is difficult. And obviously when you're a company as big as Apple, it's even more difficult. So
it's not to say that Apple is without their own share of patents, but I mean,
yeah,
they don't seem to exert the kind of influence that Qualcomm does. Bully is maybe a good word to use.
Oh yeah,
but
I would say
they do kind of come across that way to me.
Because the thing is, they hold several what are called essential patents. So these are patents that are deemed essential because they define a particular technology or product that is essential to the development of other technologies or products. So for example, if you had a patent on using cellular signals to transmit data across a network, that would be an essential patent.
Right.
Because the only way to build telecommunications technology
right.
is off of that patent.
And those tend to not be approved as patents anyways because of that, right? That you can't really patent something like
these
that
days,
big?
These days, no.
But you used to be able to.
You used to be able right. to. So there's a lot yeah. of patents that companies hold yeah. that are essential that have been grandfathered in. And technically, the law says that they have to let people use them because they're essential. But there's a ton of loopholes and a bunch of other stuff. And the whole landscape is just kind of fragmented. I mean, right. this is why we need patent reform in the first place.
Sure.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just kind of this bitter thing. Yeah. And it'll get resolved at some point in the next 3 or 4 years, probably.
That reminds me that I need to check on my approval for my patent of air.
Air?
Well, in the future, soon, I will be the only provider that sells air.
Oh.
So you will have to come to me for oxygen.
Oh, I see. Okay. So it'll probably be resolved in the next 3 to 4 years. And nobody really wins with these things. It's just long and drawn out. And both sides technically have merit, although I would say Apple probably has more merit in this situation because we know for a fact that Qualcomm does a bunch of stuff that sounds a lot like what Apple is accusing them of. So
right.
ultimately, yeah. I
mean,
don't know.
It'll be at least interesting to see what the outcome of this is. It may be quite some time before we see what the ruling results are on this lawsuit. But
yeah,
it wouldn't surprise me if the court just says no to Qualcomm.
Yeah,
that it they don't have the right to do that.
No, and I would say this honestly has ramifications for Android as well because a lot of Android OEMs rely on Qualcomm. So if Apple wins here, then that sets a precedent and Android manufacturers can kind of use this as leverage to maybe cut better deals with Qualcomm or take some of those essential technologies and start weaning themselves off of Qualcomm. There could be no end to the ramifications of this. But obviously that's like way further down the pipeline and it's hard to say exactly how that'll shake out. But, if Apple does win, then it's probably bad for Qualcomm because their power will begin to diminish.
You've been listening to the Impromptu One Hologram Radio. I'm Alex Knight, joined by Michael Norton as always. If you'd like to show your support for this podcast and the work that we do here, the single best way to do that is to go to patreon.com/hologramradio and donate today. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes to ensure you get every new episode each and every week. And do leave us a review if you have a moment that makes us feel good as well as helps other people find the podcast. We're also available in Google Play Music, TuneIn, and Stitcher as well if you'd like to stream it there. And wherever else you can find podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter. We're at The Impromptu. Michael Norton is at Zen Impulse. I'm at Zero Distraction. And if you'd like to send us feedback the old-fashioned way, you can email us at theimpromptu@hologramradio.org, and that will go to both myself and Michael.
And on that note, thanks for listening, everyone. See you next time.